The new legislative session begins this week in Montpelier. On Wednesday, Senator Tim Ash was elected president of the Senate. Here are his full remarks.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, and thank you, Mr. President, if I may call you that, for perhaps the last time in our 8 years of knowing each other. And thanks to my 29 Senate family members, I am more than grateful to each of you. I was talking to the senior senator from Orleans, and he saw the stack of pages that I had bringing up with me. I told him that the font was really big, so he shouldn't worry. But in fact, Senator, I perhaps stretched the truth a little bit. I think today we have the dangerous combination of a dais, a politician, and a captive audience. As we set out on our journey together, I just wanted to offer some brief remarks I prepared in five parts. And don't worry, those five parts aren't all as lengthy as you may suspect. Part one, the work ahead. It's frequently said at the beginning of a biennium that the Senate, the legislature as a whole, the governor, and the state of Vermont face unprecedented challenges. And I think history will probably be the best judge of that, but nonetheless, it's always important to take stock of where we are and to acknowledge what the work ahead includes. Put simply, there's no shortage of legislative work needed to improve the lives of Vermonters. And this will not and cannot be a thumb twiddler's club. First, a word on poverty. Michael Harrington once wrote a book called The Other America at a time when poverty in Appalachia and urban slums was poorly understood by policymakers. Today in our state, we're experiencing something similar. On the one hand, Vermont racks up the superlatives: healthiest state, best state to raise a family, safest state, and so it goes. The people who inhabit this Vermont are very well educated, enjoy the outdoors, soak in the great culture of the state, eat the great food that's offered, we travel, have skills that are valued in the workforce. But then there's the other Vermont. The other Vermont is inhabited by people experiencing a very different kind of life. In this other Vermont, global trade has forced the shutdown of longtime factories that used to guarantee a well-paying job for someone who just had a high school diploma, and that's especially true in rural areas. The other Vermont has kids growing up in families racked with drug or alcohol or mental health problems or some combination of the three. In the other Vermont, people receive small paychecks and have few options for healthy living and can't take their kids anywhere for enrichment. The other Vermont is filled with people who have been at best holding the line, but more likely have been losing a little economic ground in the decade past that has benefited some so greatly. So above everything else we work on, I believe we must, in every policy area, endeavor to create just one Vermont, a place where the dumb luck of who you've been born to doesn't, on the one hand, confer a near guarantee of a great long life, but on the other, condemn some kids to a life of struggle, poor health, and poverty. Our work will also take us into nearly every important area of public policy. How to go about cleaning up our lake and waterways, how to pay for that work, how to move forward and build a true system of substance abuse treatment no matter which part of the state you live in, how to ensure we have the physical and human infrastructure in place to address the serious mental health problems in the state, and to make sure we have a system that doesn't ride the backs of the frontline workers who often do the most heart-wrenching work for near poverty pay. How to ensure kids aren't hungry at school, making learning a second-order issue for them. How to ease the financial burden faced by so many Vermont college students. How to create a rural economic development strategy. How to continue the visionary work of juvenile justice reform. Work with our law enforcement partners to address issues of implicit bias. How to continue to support one of the finest public education systems in the country at a time of declining student counts, and so much more. This is not intended to sound like a laundry list or a menu to choose from, but just to say what the reality is of what's ahead for us. We have to do all this work with perhaps the least predictable incoming presidential administration in modern U.S. history. So we have our work cut out for us. Part two, the team. Everything I just said seems a bit overwhelming when you think about it, addressing poverty issues, income inequality, and the whole list of policy areas. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for dabblers. But what keeps the balance in my step, despite all these challenges, is the team we have here today. A quick summary is useful to showcase what the 30 senators Vermonters sent here bring to the committee tables and to the desks in this chamber. In this Senate, service roots run very deep. We have five former school board members, four select board members, two city councilors, one of whom, the senior senator from Rutland, is a double dipper, having also been a school board member. We have a former mayor in our senior senator from Washington. We have three former planning commissioners, two DRB members, several town moderators, one parks commissioner, and at least one person who will admit to be the collector of delinquent taxes for a municipality. And in case you're guessing, that would be the junior senator from Orleans. We include a former sergeant of arms in the junior senator from Washington and a veteran of the Vietnam War, the senator from Orange. In the Senate, our professional backgrounds are representative of the communities from which we've traveled today. We include a registered nurse, the senior senator from Addison, two professors, one an off-published novelist, the senator from Chittenden, Senator Baruth, one a published scientist, the senator from Chittenden, Senator Lyons. We have three K-12 educators, two who work in higher ed, and at least four who have taught college courses. We've got the owner of a trucking company and a construction company and a communications company, the last of these the junior senator from Addison. We include senators who've been paid to play music, and here I refer both to the senior senator from Windsor, also the junior senator from Caledonia, which you may not know. A senator who's been paid to sling drinks, one of the new members from the Chittenden District, Senator Pearson. A senator who's been paid to teach rock climbing, a little-known fact about the junior senator from Windham. We include three lawyers, one of whom clerked for it, the senator from Rutland, Senator Flory, a realtor, housing developer, two senators who've dedicated their adult lives to helping kids, both the senior senator from Bennington and the senator from Windsor, Senator Nicka. We have two radio hosts, including the senator from Washington, Senator Polina. We include a movie theater operator, a theater producer in our new senator from Windsor, Senator Clarkson. We also have a nonprofit administrator who hails from the perhaps unfortunate birthplace for a politician of Thief River Falls. We could poll the audience to determine who that would be. It happens to be the senior senator from Windham. We have a grocer. We have a former Secretary of Human Services, a former tax commissioner, an ordained minister in the new senator from Chittenden, Senator Ingram, a maple syrup producer, the junior senator from Franklin. And no fewer than four in our ranks who've worked for statewide elected officials here in Vermont, including most recently our senior senator from Franklin. In this Senate, we've served on so many boards, it speaks volumes about our capacity to sit through meetings and for our love of the communities that we live in. They include, and this is just a tiny representation, board service on, in the first instance, one senator who served both on the Elks Club number 2155 and Vermont Trucks and Bus Association, which I believe is a distinction only possibly ever held by the senior senator from Orleans. We have the former president of the Vermont chapter of the National Ice Hockey Association in the junior senator from Rutland, a nonprofit Holy Cross Senior Housing, the only senator from Grand Isle, the Bennington Museum, our junior senator from Bennington, not to mention countless soup kitchens, church vestries, historical societies, environmental organizations. We've served as coaches on sports ranging from hockey to football to soccer to baseball, including the senator from Chittenden, Senator Sorokin. And lastly, we include senators, four of whom who grew up on family farms, including the senator from Lamoille and the senior senator from Caledonia, and two who continue to run farm operations. I cannot be more excited that this is the team of 30 selected by Vermonters to take on the great work ahead. Part three, some inspiration to guide the way. Those of you who know me well know that I cherish our place in the long narrative of Vermont's history, and I hope as we take on the difficult work ahead, we draw inspiration from elected officials who have come before us, all of whom have served at the local level here in Vermont. And that as we work, we think about the collective efforts of these officials to help create the same Vermont experience that we're about to enjoy. A small number of our predecessors speak to this unique Vermont heritage. Think of George Aiken, who was one of just five U.S. senators who spoke out against the personal destruction of a man named Leland Olds of the Federal Power Commission, who was publicly ruined for doing his job regulating the big power interests in the 30s. Think of Ralph Flanders, former senator and granddad to a friend and neighbor of mine, who introduced the U.S. Senate resolution to censure Joseph McCarthy. Think of Consuelo Bailey and Madeline Cunin, who broke barriers for women in elected office and public life. Think of Jim Jeffords, who risked the disapproval of longtime U.S. Senate colleagues by following his conscience and literally, in one difficult act, changing the balance of Congress. Think of former Governor Howard Dean, who prominently questioned a foreign war in 2004, and our state's junior U.S. senator, who appealed to millions of citizens in the most recent presidential election, bringing a message to the country that was honed here in Vermont. And finally, let's keep in mind our great friend and colleague, Senator Bill Doyle. For 48 years, he was not just a good senator, he was a mentor and a great person to so many of us, and we owe a great deal of gratitude to Bill. Though these Vermonters had different parties, different ideology, different styles, they shared some basic traits that we would do well to legislate by: a sense of fairness, a desire to give every person a chance at a good life, and ultimately, in one instance that I believe is true Vermont exceptionalism, plain decency when it comes to the treatment of our fellow man and fellow woman. Part four, the sponge. When I was first elected to the Senate in 2008, my friends gathered for a victory celebration at what was then the Three Needs Bar on College Street in Burlington. I remember standing on the bar, it was a little precarious, with a porter in my hand, and a porter, for those of you who aren't beer drinkers, is a beer, not a person who works for the railroad. And I told my friends that I considered myself little more than a vehicle to bring their insights, experience, and wisdom to the Senate. And it sounded corny then. It sounds corny now to say it, but I meant it. And while I'm not the most self-reflective person, it is true that all my life I have been a sponge. And that's what you've got as pro tem now, a sponge. Standing up right here, right now, I can say sincerely that I am little more than what I've learned from each of you these last 8 years. I've absorbed your stories, your work experience, your humor, your understanding, your caring, and for some of you, even your sandwiches. And while some of you are sick of my soccer metaphors, I think you know I leave it all on the field here in the Senate and will continue to do so in this new role on your behalf. My blood, sweat, and tears fill this building already, but they're dwarfed by the enjoyment of what we've accomplished together over the years. Part five, the disclaimer. I have my own disclaimer to make. I could not be here as a senator, I could not be here as your pro tem without the support of Paula for the last 14 years. Our relationship is complicated by our respective obsessions with journalistic integrity and legislative confidence keeping. It can be frustrating to live by this firewall, but I'll never apologize for having a partner who is one of the most savvy and visionary businesswomen, not just in Vermont, but in national publishing. And a special thanks to my parents who are here today, who probably were surprised by much of what they heard earlier, and I believe are probably dumbfounded that the bearded, bookwormy jock they knew as a kid stands before them today in this position. So in conclusion, thank you very much for your patience, and I hope we'll move forward continuing to reflect the best in honorable, respectful, and forward-thinking public service. Thank you so much, and let's get to it.